You're listening to the Oddcast Podcast UK on the Pod Gods Network. The Oddcast Podcast, the podcast nobody is listening to. Except you.
Not a tumor.
Hello, welcome to the Oddcast Podcast, episode 41.
Fuck, that's a big number, isn't it?
I am your host.
Are you going to get tired of saying that at all? You
know? Never.
And I love how you're just going to talk over the host.
And every week it gets to be a bigger number, so I get to make a comment on it.
You just rename this the Will Show.
You're not allowed to talk yet.
Who the fuck are you?
Shut up. Random voices.
I ain't fucking introduced you yet. Come fucking talking in. You think you are a fucking premature ejaculator, motherfucker?
Sit in your corner and be silent.
You don't know me. Fuck you.
We've got Mexican in the room.
So, Adam, what were you saying?
I token.
Welcome to the Oddcast Podcast on the Pod Gods Network. It's a pleasure to have you on board. I am your host, Adam. With me today is...
Barry Manilow.
And...
Ash.
I thought you were going to think of saying Nikon. No.
Ash.
Yeah. And today, we have a very special guest.
Special.
In that sense. Introduce yourself, then.
I'm Marcus, and I like to play...
I'm kidding. Yeah, no. He doesn't like to play.
I'm sorry. What else can you do with somebody who uses you as special? No, I'm off. I popped up on one random podcast.
What?
Early on.
Random.
What random podcast was that?
I don't remember.
That was a What the Fuck Is Billy? That was, wasn't it? Back in them days.
Fucking old school.
Are we
man.
Talking about Billy?
Yeah, we can talk about Billy.
Yeah, we always say what the fuck.
I thought it was like some kind of hidden secret. We weren't allowed to mention Billy. No, sorry, Billy.
He did.
Oh, damn it.
He did 20 episodes, Billy. Then Will come on board very, very drunk and never left. So
episode 21, I believe.
Yeah. It wasn't about me leaving, it was about you leaving my house.
We to haven't be fair. Yet.
No, we've actually been here all
we
the time.
Live here. Now these are going to explode everywhere.
I just knocked over all of that.
She's talking about his balls.
No, that's later when we get me to one.
Okay, you'll be the last one. Okay, Oddcast Podcast, episode 41. We are the movie centric podcast. We are the podcast nobody's listening to, and there's four guys sitting around the table drinking beer, talking movies, having a bit of banter. And
you're not selling it to anyone.
Nah, you don't need beer when you have wine.
Marcus is on the wine.
Yes, so. It's like a podcasting virginity thing. You have to do your first one on wine.
Sounds so dirty.
Yeah. Do your first one on wine, Marcus. Do
always.
It.
Always.
Do it.
I won't go like that.
Okay, so how's everyone been? Everyone been okay?
No.
No, what's wrong with you? Well, you sound like you've got the ump.
No good reason.
Tell it's you. Just weird.
Go on, open up. The first step is admitting you have a problem.
You know when you gave me that drink, Adam, right? the one that tasted a bit funny, and then I couldn't remember the 18 hours after it.
Oh, the hateful drink?
Was that what it was?
Oh, no, sorry. What was it called? What do we call it? Oh, Jesus juice.
It was the special fizzy, wasn't it?
Special fizzy.
I find when I go for a poo now, it just all falls out. I need to see the doctor.
I'm loving the
fact. You're saying he's that big?
Hey!
Woo-hoo-hoo! High five, then.
No, not at all. But I don't understand why the melon tasted so bad.
Oh, what are we talking about?
Should we go into the intro music?
Well, should we just give a quick intro to Marcus?
No, I'm cool. I'm
We've
cool.
had him before.
Marcus, tell us. Tell
I don't you remember name. That. Well, you know, he probably was special beer, but
he do drink spirits.
Okay, Marcus was on a What the Fuck Does Billy Know, an old podcast, a retro indie podcast that nobody listened to. Literally, nobody.
I didn't.
You don't listen to anything.
No.
You don't even watch movies. We talk to people like through Skype, you don't even know who they are.
I don't even listen to you.
What? His face, he's because he smiles at me and no one knows that he's smiling.
For those that don't know, Will resembles sort of like a cherub angel, only, you know, one that's basically fucked Brian his way Blessed around a bar and has a shit eating grin.
He's a beardless Brian Blessed. That's what we've put him down as.
Yeah, beardless, totally.
Yes, totally, happily beardless.
Yeah.
What do you think I said?
I think you said beardless.
A beardless Brian Blessed.
Yeah.
I know you've got no beard. No, I know you've got a little bit of a beard, but some days you don't have a beard.
It's a baby beard.
Right.
Baby compared beard. To Brian Blessed, it is a baby beard.
Oh, compared to Brian Blessed, nothing is a beard.
Mm. Exactly.
Nothing is a beard as it seems.
You're as smooth as a baby's bottom.
This is the best intro ever to a podcast. We did a live one last week. And this one sounds even worse, and this one could be edited and stopped.
God. But it won't be, will it, Adam?
Me, edit.
He can't be asked. Silly.
No, fuck, I've got life. Just put it out there on iTunes. Fucking listen to it, bitches. And they do. So, Marcus, say a few words about yourself.
I live in Chelmsford. I'm a human being and I'm being held at ransom. Please save me by donating cash to this account. It's
this account.
I'm joking.
No, do it.
No, this account. Yeah, not his account.
No, I don't know. It's good to be back, to be honest.
You can't say that because the Oddcast listeners don't even have a clue who the fuck you are.
Who gives a fuck?
Bearing
in mind, I'm actually a listener of this. I can actually speak for listeners by saying I don't give a fuck where I'm actually on one side of the mic or listening to it. So it doesn't really matter. I'm sure you probably share this viewpoint. So if I say, you know, it's good to be back, I mean it's good to be back because it's genuinely good to be back.
Terms and conditions apply.
It doesn't matter where you're back.
He's one of those
radio
boys.
At the pub, back at the bank, back at the supermarket, back at Tesco, back at the line.
What's
any back at the bus will be met with violence. And yeah. Anyway,
Will made me laugh earlier. He said that you were going to walk up here and it was raining. And he said, I hope he gets one of them katana things on the back so he can put his umbrella in.
No, actually, that's not at all what I said. I said, I hope he's got one of those umbrellas with a katana handle. Because Marcus likes to walk around Chelmsford as if he's Blade.
I only live a trench coat. I happen to be black by proxy.
You happen to be black. Yeah.
Pure coincidence.
Yeah. I was born, I looked in the mirror, and that's just what I had.
So that doesn't stop you wearing the long leather jacket, and I just
like
knew.
Them.
Yeah,
I like them. I like them. I'm not going to apologise for wearing a trench coat. What the fuck? I'm supposed to basically go up to Will and kowtow before him and apologise for owning, to be honest, what I love. It's a long leather trench coat, pretty much almost floor length. I love it. It's awesome. People love it. Will has an issue with this.
I say,
fuck Will.
It's like we've got BUI on there.
Yeah, they live in the room.
Anyway, okay. No, we're good.
No, what I was saying, actually,
what was, I really meant was,
knowing you, I would fully expect you to have bought one of the large golf-style umbrellas, the ones you can get with the katana handle.
I actually have one
just
already.
So you can stick that down the back of your leather jacket. Right, and you do put it down the back of your leather jacket.
I've worn it once or twice.
Yes.
I've actually had a conversation with an armed police guard in Liverpool Street who wanted to buy one for his wife. So there's somewhere there's footage of me talking to this armed policeman with an MP5, a submachine gun, talking about how he wanted to buy one of these katana-handled umbrellas for his wife's anniversary.
So the bit that I actually said, which is you walking
is
up
true.
Here, dressed like Blade and probably having a katana-handled umbrella, was entirely correct?
Potentially. Only I was wearing a wide-brim fedora hat. and probably looked which a bit more like Van Helsing than Blade.
It was very Van Helsing when he walked in.
Yeah, but you have the long leather jacket, and you now and again put the katana handled umbrella in the back of it.
It's more like a trinket because I don't like carrying it around. You know, getting shot.
Because you will get pulled.
Getting
up
shot over an umbrella is pretty sad, really. You know.
Yeah, but your umbrella is like wings of steel.
Your bullets cannot harm me.
Read the rest of the world. Yeah. No, I'm wearing a Batpink t-shirt. Now, should we go in the music?
Yes. Enough.
Yes, the theme I made. All excited for that, aren't we? Are we ready for
is it another one? A new one?
No, it's the one you've heard.
Oh. Oh, yeah, we're going to take six.
Okay, let's go into episode 41 of the Oddcast Podcast UK.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
Where did you get those clothes? At the toilet store?
I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Just a bad reception, honey.
I'm gonna spank my hairy ass.
What's that?
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
I got a fever! And the only prescription is more cowbell!
What's your favorite scary movie?
Oh. Hear it now.
Go back to then!
When?
Now!
Now?
Now!
I can't!
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
It's not a tumor.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
So here we are, the four of us. You drinking wine, Marcus?
No, we're having a pissing contest.
So Marcus, tell us, when you listen to the podcast, what do you think is the best part of it? What do you enjoy the most?
Yeah, that bit.
I think the esteemed gentleman to my left has just made his case. It's a belching contest. No, I don't know. It's funny. When you're spending half the time pissing yourself laughing and making your colleagues, you know, look at you as though you've, you know, said you're going to eat their firstborn. It's quite funny.
Is that what you look like when you laugh?
Yeah, I know. It's. I've been told if I smile that you're going to shake my hand or I'm going to break your neck. I don't know. It's just
fucking nasty. So, Will, you been alright?
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah, I'm dandy.
A little bit better now. For 10 minutes ago, you were like ready to kill someone.
Yeah, I've had my curry now.
Yeah, you're right now. No, nice curry, not bad.
It wasn't a bad curry.
Well, man's curry. How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah. The goat curry was a bit weird. It was a bit porkish.
Goat curry.
That's what with it having been made with pig this time, not goat.
Goat curry was a bit good.
No, I follow. I used with the pork curry. I followed a similar recipe to the one I used for my curry goat, but I used a slightly more Indian spice blend. Put in sultanas and used pork instead of goat, which makes the real difference between it being pork curry and goat curry.
Yeah,
as long as it's not long pork curry, it should be okay.
Yeah, we had the short version of the pork curry. They just
was that
took
a problem?
A long time to explain.
Hang on.
Ash, a couple weeks ago...
What is long pork and short pork?
Long pig.
Long pork. Humans.
Long pork.
Yeah, long pig is human flesh.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's the cannibal term for human flesh.
Oh, bugger.
Papua New Guinea, I think.
I didn't realise that's what the butcher meant when they said you want long pig. I just thought it was extra long pieces of bacon.
Were you in Thailand when they said you want long pig and they say it in a voice like, you want long pig?
I said, oh yeah.
Sorry, you have that glazed over look.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah.
Shit.
Sorry.
You want long pig? Excellent.
Long pig,
I am a cannibal.
Me love you long pig.
Right. She loved me long pig.
Ash.
But I've only got a short pig.
Bollocks.
Ash. A couple weeks ago, we set you a challenge to go and watch a movie called The Prestige.
Yes, you did.
Did you ever watch it?
I did. And I watched the other one as well.
The Illusionist.
Yeah, that's the one.
The what?
I was going to say The Insomniac.
The Insomniac.
It begins with an
eye. It was about a magician who just couldn't sleep at night.
He came up with all these weird and wonderful tricks in the middle of the night.
It's the story of one man's quest to escape from his duvet.
It didn't manage. It was boring. But yes, no, I watched the whatever one it was, the Prestige.
The Prestige, Hugh Jackman, Christian Bell.
Yeah, it was good.
Christopher Nolan
that was
movie.
Good. That was a good twist at the end of it. Mm.
Don't want to give it away.
I'm not giving it away.
Some people might have seen it.
That's why I just said there's some twists at the end of it.
It turned out he was a real wizard.
Yeah. He was a true wizard.
Bum raped a boy in a cupboard under the stairs.
No, that's a priest.
And told him it was platform like 13 and a half.
Oh, sorry, I was confusing the film. So.
He's getting wizards and priests mixed up.
Yeah. It's the long robes and the beards and the shiny.
Blade turns out he's going to start killing vampires and priests.
Oh, there you go. Vampires versus priests should be a movie.
Yeah, it could be. But I prefer strippers versus.
No, it should be. If you can do it, it's got to be vampires versus sexy nuns.
Oh, there's
to be perfectly honest.
Ooh, are they
none women? Of that priest shit.
Yeah, it's been nuns, yeah. No, I'm with you.
Sexy nuns. Not just nuns. You've got to be specific. Sexy nuns.
Because there is a film called Nude Nuns with Big Guns, which is out.
Nude.
So, yeah. Okay, anyone seen Cabin in the Woods? Anyone heard of it?
I've heard of it. That's the Joss Whedon one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I really want to see that because Joss Whedon's turned out some really good stuff. Yeah. But I've not seen it yet.
It's in your wank bank.
No.
I had a weird.
Why would you ask that?
I just
want
to make him feel uncomfortable.
Adam, if you want to make him feel uncomfortable, use your left arm, reach towards his knee, and then slowly walk it up his leg.
I'll enjoy that. It's for the most fun I've had.
That's not uncomfortable. Don't make him feel comfortable.
Make him feel at home.
So, yeah, Cabin in the Woods. No one's seen it, though.
Not yet, no.
Nope.
I've seen it.
I know.
We can tell that.
Your stupid, pompous grin.
It's just
fucking amazing.
Your chubby, smug face.
Yeah, chubby, yes. Smug,
really. Yes.
Face, no.
Well, we say face.
Yeah.
It's what's going like on with the semi-shaved look?
It means I had a shave and it's growing back.
But it's just fuck weird.
My God.
That's what happens.
Really?
The semi-shaved look.
Yeah, well, it's like you shaved the cheeks and stuff, but no, you've left the rest of it.
No, my cheeks don't grow.
Is that like you've got a shaved semi?
So, Cabin in the Woods, what's it about?
Is it about, like, a small cabin, right, that's in some woods?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fuck yes!
Jesus Christ, scare me a little.
That just did my ear.
Ash.
Yeah.
I do know
who's in quite Cabin in the Woods?
Not me.
Okay. Marcus.
I've not seen it, but I'm guessing it's similar to what Will enlightened us with. Yeah, it's got Kate Beckinsale and a shiny spandex outfit. Sorry, I'm going to go off somewhere else now. I'll be in my bunk.
Nipping off for the strangle wank.
No, I'm guessing it's a sort of. I've seen the trailers or adverts because they're British for it. But and I think it's basically a new twist on the whole idea of either something really bad happens in a cabin in the woods, but there's probably a sci-fi element to it. So it's probably like a horror genre mixed with something along the lines
of spaceship.
So drugs and aliens.
Well, it seemed to me as though it was sort of like an observatory experimentational thing sort of going on.
What are you
getting
out of them? The trailer?
I've watched trailers and I think about it.
No, we're going to go. Yeah,
well, yeah, £10's a lot of money. I don't want to turn up there and it to be another fucking paranormal activity. Basically sit and watch nothing happen for 3/4 of an hour and then someone bounces at the screen. And I'm thinking, well, what the fuck is that? You know, if I wanted to watch that shit, I'd watch fucking Play School. Just like, you know, monged out of my face on spliff or whatever and then get up and jump out a window.
It's in the night garden. That's much better with a spliff.
In the night garden, what's that? Mm. Oh, the kid show with the weird fucking.
I don't actually do drugs. I'm too weird. I don't really need to. I just
no drugs do him.
Yeah. That's where we get them from.
A packet of wine gums, and that's me set off for the night. To be honest.
So, what's going on over here?
Nothing.
No
idea. Well, have you just drawn a pair of tits on the fucking table?
No.
Yes.
No. Have a look. It's got ears, eyes, and a mouth.
It's a Mickey Mouse vampire.
It's vampire mouse. And what's your problem?
It's a vampire mouse.
It's a vampire mouse. Okay.
I didn't take a picture of that. Marcus, talk more about Joss Whedon. Who is he?
Joss Whedon is amazing. If you don't know about Joss Whedon, he's godly. Basically, I recommend starting off with Firefly and your life will be complete. A little known sci-fi series in which... the concept is basically cowboys in space. Sounds really weird, but two episodes.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
Drink for singing.
Other people call me a cunt.
Everyone calls me.
Most people. Oh, sorry, even my mother does.
In fact, that is actually his official name on Deadpool, but you know, for legal reasons, he actually has to use Will. But
yeah, it's Willy cunt.
Wiley cunt, like Wiley Coyote, but she misspelled
Rich
it.
Richard William cunt, Dick Willy cunt.
So how excited are you guys for the Avengers movie?
Oh, massively.
I think it might be okay, but I'm actually holding judgment because we've had a lot of good superhero films and that franchise is doing well.
Yeah.
But we've had some god awful shite recently.
Such as?
Fantastic Five? Four?
Fantastic Five!
That was the sequel.
That hasn't come out yet.
Fantastic Four was shit.
Well, both of them.
They're actually rebooting that because they admit it's shit.
Yeah.
So they're actually restarting that again because they realise they fucked up.
Yeah.
After they've made the shit thing.
Yeah.
We're going to remake it because
they do it in the comic book world all the time. They restart series from episode one all the time. It's to be honest, you keep writing something, you realise we've gone so far from the originals. Everyone hates us, the fans hate us, which we make the film for. What's the point in living? So they essentially take the film out to a yard.
What's the point in living?
You know? They should just shoot each other.
Yeah, they take the film out to a yard, you know, give it a cigarette, and then shoot it in the face. And then they basically bring in a new puppy and call that Fantastic Four. It's the old yellow story.
Okay, if they don't like it, then they shoot the screenwriters.
Yeah, look at Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man. You know, Sam Raimi, I think he did an okay job with the first one, but he got screwed over by the old
studio.
You know, they took the story from him and forced him to add elements in. Hence, everyone watched it and went, what the fuck? I'm watching Peter Parker dancing.
In the third one.
What the fuck is going on?
It's too many villains.
Yeah.
What's the name of the bloke who played Peter Parker in those?
Tobey Maguire.
Oh, I don't like him.
I think he did a good job as a plebby kid. But
thing is, though,
there's new ones, they're setting them in the school. So it's...
Andrew Garfield in the
new
one.
Show me the money!
No, that's Jerry Maguire.
That's what we get.
Man of crime!
You didn't hear him muttering earlier while you were talking. Is that Jerry Maguire's brother?
That's why he was smiling. I'm just waiting for my moment to actually come out with that to see what the
Ash has one moment.
Right, we've got already a 45 minute interview in this section. Shall we move in this episode?
45 minutes.
Oh, a big chunk of interview. All right. Okay, maybe Thursday.
We've got a small interview.
But what I would say,
the comedian.
We've got an interview that's basically head to toe full of bounce.
What I was going to ask about Cabin in the Woods is that I've seen the movie.
No one else.
Would you like me to explain the plot?
No.
No. No, I want to see it.
Spoiler.
Is it good? Is it good?
It's very good.
It's very good.
I'd rather see it.
Like your fucking chatty.
No, I will. It's Joss Whedon. I like his stuff.
Yeah. Why have you never told me before that you like Joss Whedon?
How many times have I mentioned that I've watched Buffy and Angel and Firefly?
A lot.
That's actually true.
Hey, man, Firefly!
But actually, I can't fucking stand Joss Whedon.
Yeah. I love Buffy, but I hate the creator.
Yeah, I hate the bloke who wrote it all. He's a cunt. I can't stand anything he does.
Have you seen Serenity then?
Yes.
That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
I love Serenity. I've never seen Firefly.
Serenity is the closest thing I'd have to a gripe with Joss Whedon, because I just think Wash didn't need to die.
I know, it was
upsetting. It may be a spoiler, but fucking deal with it.
Saying, you know, which one's he?
I don't remember.
He was the pilot.
Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk from Dodgeball. Steve the Pirate.
Dodgeball, he was in A Knight's Tale as well.
That's it.
I flung you!
He's also in iRobot, actually plays the robot.
Really?
In that sense, yeah. But
so that was serious.
We move on. We can forgive certain roles.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I do not want a summary of that film because I will watch it and I expect to enjoy it.
You can't have a summary of that film because it's one of them films, Cabin in the Woods talking about, it's one of them films that it's not twisty and like it's a shock surprise.
Tell me about the film!
I'm just saying, there's enough in it to surprise.
Stop telling me about the film!
You've watched the trailer. You've watched the trailer, you didn't
explain from the trailer. I thought it was quite good, yeah.
There's no M. Night Shyamalan twists.
Move on.
It's the titties. But there's
great fucking surprise in it. And if you're a horror fan, you'll love it.
Yeah, someone pops out of a drain and goes,
see, I think
show me the money.
No, that's completely the wrong
thing. I had you at cabin. That's
right. Yeah.
But,
okay, so Cabin in the Woods, everyone has to see it.
All right.
Regardless.
We will. Right. We eventually will.
Okay, so what are we talking about? Oh, interview. Do it, boy.
Yeah.
Right, today we have an interview with Rita Ramnani from Strippers vs. Werewolves.
Indeed.
How excited are you about that film? I've seen the movie, but you three haven't.
No, not yet. Well, you'll find out an awful lot about this film, though, in the upcoming segment. Are we doing that immediately, or are we doing a bit before?
Yeah, we'll do a little lead up to it. So, like, everyone, like, she was a nice girl.
She was lovely. She was absolutely fucking lovely.
Yeah, and she's an up and coming actress, and she's good in the film, and she's up for big things.
And we've seen pictures, and she's really quite hot.
She's a very pretty girl. She's got very nice eyes.
Ice. Yeah, it's amazing what your Essex accent does to the pronunciation of certain body parts.
I said ice.
Got really nice ice.
No, I said eyes.
Oh.
Don't make me add beer.
Yeah, if you were any arse of March, doesn't
you? You already pointed it out during the fucking interview that I was a bit of a perv, that I had to speak to women.
You appear to be a bit of a stalker. But let's play that out.
I'm not a stalker.
That's not what the police report say, but yeah, it's just going.
So in case you haven't guessed, she played one of the werewolves rather than one of the strippers.
Yeah, she's famous for a massive...
Oh, shit, no, I got that the wrong way, man.
Massive sideburns and body hair.
That's not the film you're watching.
Should we just play that bit out, then?
Well, I'll do it, yeah. I'll play a little trailer out for people for Strippers versus Werewolves, and then bang straight into the interview with Rita Ramnani. And then
chastity.
Join us afterwards.
Indeed.
I am dancing for you, so show me some respect. Killed a werewolf.
Massacre her friends and her family. Let slip the wolves of vengeance.
So here we are on Skype talking to Rita Ramnani from Strippers vs. Werewolves and plenty of other stuff. Say hello, Rita.
Hello.
How are you today?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm brilliant. Brilliant.
That's a statement, matter of opinion.
Why is that, Will?
I don't think of you as brilliant.
Oh, fair enough.
Going to go into a whole other conversation.
It is. It
is. He's just a little bit special.
they do have a, they bully me a little bit, don't they?
I don't know. I've not been here for a while, so I'll take their word for it. There's more of them than me.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so Strippers versus Werewolves. Like I said, I have seen the film. I watched it last night, and I found it very enjoyable.
Good.
It was very over the top, very fun.
Yes.
And it had exactly what. It's in the tin. Strippers versus Werewolves was exactly what it was.
I'm kind of assuming it's a little tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, well, you know, I see it as kind of a deep, thought-provoking movie about women trying to make it in the big city and trying to find their place in society No, I'm kidding.
What you couldn't see was that everyone's jaw dropped. And and we felt ashamed for basically perving over werewolves and strippers.
Hey, hang on.
In that order.
Yeah, it's exactly what you guys said. You know, it is what it says on the tin. It's fun. It's boobs and blood. It's beer and pizza movie. It's exactly that. It's a bit of fun.
Exactly, yeah. And what I liked about it is that the whole premise of the story, it's very simple. It's a revenge story.
Exactly, yeah. One of the chief werewolves gets accidentally killed by one of the strippers whilst having a lap dance, which is it's a pretty awesome way to go, I think.
I have to ask, is she wearing silver underwear or something?
It's kind of like...
I think it's more piercing. Well, I haven't seen it yet. I'll stop
there. Were you not paying attention? It was like frilly lace, like pretty knickers.
Ooh.
But she has a silver pen.
Just silver pen.
And she
stabs him in the eye. As soon as he sort of starts getting very excited by this lap dance, and then from that he turns into a werewolf. So her immediate reaction is to grab anything and just stab him in the eye. Lo and behold, it's a silver pen, and he dies with a huge erection.
That's it. And it's not just any silver pen; it's a silver fountain pen, a biro, which is actually said in the movie.
Is it a Parker?
One of those W.H. Smith ones, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Excellent. Only the best.
We haven't had the budget to stretch that far, you know, to get one of those pens, yeah.
So where do you film these things? Because I'm looking at it, it looked like it was in a bona fide strip club. Did you just use a strip club, or was there a set?
Yeah, full-on strip club in Croydon. We spent a month in there.
I've done that.
Yeah, I mean, it was really tough on the guys. Yeah. Imagine.
I bet they hated it, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were like, see you later, love, I'm going to do some filming. Where? Yeah. In a strip club. Oh.
I bet they didn't walk away with a profit.
They walked away with something.
It's funny when, you know, they're sort of like, yeah, they get all excited, they're working in a strip club. And then you watch them, and there are these naked ladies everywhere, and they go all coy and shy, and they're like, no, I'm just getting on with my work.
I'll let you in a little secret, and I probably shouldn't do that. It's something, and this might be edited out, but sod it. It's called the Wank Bank. Basically, they were hitting mental record. That's why they were quiet.
Right.
Marcus, welcome back.
Just to let you know, Marcus isn't usually on the Oddcast podcast. He just pops in every now and again, and there's a reason for that.
I get banished.
Thanks for that, Marcus. Nice mental image of the crew doing that. It's brilliant.
Glad to help. Lovely.
Okay, so the werewolf that gets killed at the beginning of the film is actually played by Martin Kemp.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. Lovely Martin Kemp. A nice little cameo.
And he dies right at the beginning.
Well, yeah, like the Will's face was like, Martin Kemp, Spandau Ballet.
Yeah, no, I got that, but I was thinking of Ross Kemp, you see.
Oh, well, everyone gets that confused.
Oh, you know, that
ultimate werewolf.
And then shoots the pilots.
Now, I do have a question. Not having seen the whole film, but having seen bits of the trailer, I can see that when the men turn werewolf, they get fantastic sideburns come out.
Yeah.
Does that happen to the women?
In one of the scenes, when I don't want to give too much away, but when one of the women starts turning into a werewolf, there's a fantastic shot of when she lifts up her arm, and you get a full view of her armpit and all this hair just like coming out. It's brilliant.
It's like Julia Roberts,
yeah,
or she's German.
Yeah, come on. It's
a Julia Roberts.
Fantastic.
So the cast. So then, what happens after? What happens after Martin Kemp gets killed?
Well, this unleashes havoc, because when the other werewolves find out about it, they plan on getting revenge on the strippers and the club and everyone in it. But the girls don't want to take this lying down, so they plan on fighting.
Sorry. For shame, William. For shame.
It's your typical girls versus boys kind of thing, so...
The girls win, don't they?
Of course they do.
We hope.
Yeah, I hope they do. Yeah, if the film called Stupid versus Werewolves, no matter how much I like werewolves, I think I prefer the strippers.
Yeah. You've always got to vote the home team.
You're not going to go for the underdog.
That's always been on top.
So, what's the character you play? What's the character's name?
Her name's Chastity.
Sorry.
It's an ironic name for a stripper. It's a deeply ironic name.
Yeah, kind of have their own sort of little personalities. Like, my character is kind of like the innocent and stupid one that sort of, like, reacts really badly to when she sees, like, Martin Kemp's dead body and huge erection on the floor and kind of just, you know, goes hysterical. And so, yeah, she's very innocent and she's very sweet, and which... I don't know, strippers like that? You guys would probably know.
Oh, hang on. I've never been to a strip club in my life.
I've been to one.
Really?
Actually, no, I tell a lie. I've been to one strip club, but I was with my girlfriend. It was the most awkward thing in the world.
I've been to probably three in my lifetime, but one of them was Screaming Rhino, which is kind of like the opening to James Bond.
And you've actually been to that 93 times?
No.
I was going to say, I've been to about three, but I've been to a couple of them more than once.
Fair enough. So
I don't get paid enough to enjoy strippers, so...
they get paid enough. So... But you got to remember,
where do you swipe the
cards? They don't accept checks anymore, do they?
Or Polish, or any Eastern Europeans.
Oh,
sorry. Well, that could lead us on to the pole dancing thing. But
yes.
There is a scene.
Please do.
Because obviously, like I said, I've seen the whole film, these guys haven't, but there is a scene where you actually perform on stage.
Yes, yeah, I fall, did you say?
Perform.
Oh, perform. Yeah, I do. I had like an hour's worth of pole dancing lessons, which isn't a lot. And I tell you what, credit to dancing, because it is not easy.
No, like, I bet it is.
We're all bruised, battered, and we shared our, you know, war wounds from it. But it's, you know, got to give these girls credit. It's not easy. So, you know, I managed to learn a few, you know, spins and things like that. Cool. But, you know, and, you know, you're standing in front of, like, all these men. And, you know, I had to get up on stage. And I was like, guys, just whatever happens, just please pretend that I look great and I'm doing, you know, really good. And they're like, no, you're fine, it's great, it's good. So they were like really, really sweet, which was encouraging.
And if you're going to tuck anything down the front, at least make sure it's a 20.
Exactly.
Just out of curiosity, is it an extra on the DVD when it eventually comes out?
The whole hour's worth.
The practice session.
No comment. Marcus is getting a bit excited. He was like, I really want to see this film.
I actually genuinely do. I'm a big fan of the sort of fantasy horror genre. And I've seen Doghouse, which is a Danny Dyer.
Love Doghouse.
Sort of zombie crazy girls in a short town.
It's crazy thing. Women.
It's mental, yeah. But so this looks right up my street, pretty much. It really is quite fun. So I'm really looking forward to it. I probably will see it. Everyone loves to go and see them, as long as you're not teen angst.
As you just said, are you
mentioning Twilight?
No, I'm not, because if I do, I'll explode. The idiot chip in my head will start burning and I'll just explode. But I prefer True Blood anyway. It's a lot funnier.
It's
massively funny.
Just going slightly off subject at the moment, but it's bizarre, because whilst I haven't seen Twilight and can't even stand the concept of it because of the overly camp gay vampire teen thing, I still adore Joss Whedon's Angel, which is...
But the difference was...
Terrible.
The difference was he was evil through and through. He was just evil guy trying to be good. It was this whole deep story, blah, 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 blah. Well, but anyway, we're going off on the tangent.
But you can say that, because, like, with strippers versus werewolves, the werewolves are actually very evil.
Are they proper evil? Proper nasties tear apart?
There's a difference between very evil and proper evil.
Well, you know how you tease a dog and it bites you?
Mm-hmm.
And then a dog just looks at you and thinks, I'm going to have your nuts off.
Because you had mine. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to bring up. There's a scene right at the beginning where the werewolves turn up and it looks like they're about to save someone from like a gangster.
Yeah.
But then the guy says, oh, you're a hero werewolf. And then he turns around and says, no, we're just regular werewolves.
It's pretty horrible, isn't it?
It is.
It's a lot of blood.
very gory, and it made you think. And the werewolves are not nice people at all. Billy Murray from the Bill EastEnders, all the films like that. TV shows. He's been in a lot of films. He plays like the head honcho.
Right. That's right. After the first one's dead.
First one's
dead. Hang on, the head honcho of the werewolves.
The alpha, isn't it? On
the
pack.
The easy alpha.
Alpha, yeah.
Wasn't that Martin Kemp?
It was until he died.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that Martin Kemp? Are we wrong?
Dies and the bloke out.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
So he takes over.
And then the other bloke takes over. Right.
Yeah. Okay, I got that as well. I don't want to get confused.
Where were we now?
Where are we?
I'm here.
And then obviously the strippers are very innocent, like you said.
Oh, strippers are always innocent.
Until proven guilty.
Or naughty.
Well, like I said, you've got like loads of different personalities in there. Like I said, I play sort of like the innocent one. Adele's kind of the... Well, she's got this little schoolgirl outfit on. She looks incredibly hot in it.
I am so watching this film.
Ali Bastion's kind of like the girl next door. Barbara plays sort of like this hardcore, you know, like tough ass stripper girl. So you've got like a whole wide range. Charlie Bond plays this kind of magician. She's not exactly a stripper, but she's like the magician in the club. So you've got a bit of everything in there. So you can pick the one that you can pick your favourite.
The main girl, Adele, the one that kills Martin Kemp, plays a schoolgirl. I love her voice.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it. She's got that voice. She used to be in Emmerdale.
Yes,
that's
right.
Okay.
Describe the voice for us. What's the voice?
I don't want to say it because I sound like I'm impersonating it in like a jokey way. I don't want to be haunted.
We don't want to go back to Christopher Walken, no.
No, because I can't impersonate people. So, but no, she's got kind of a really kind of... I don't know, just when you hear her, you just kind of like, I just want to listen to you.
Yeah, because then we watch the film and we hear Adam's impression rather than the actual voice. And that would just ruin the film. So let's leave that. Sorry, as you were.
But Ali Bastion.
Yes.
Very nice looking. She's the one from Hollyoaks.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And yes, her character is very, like you said, girl next door. And then it's kind of they build up to be like a love story between her and the bouncer Franklin. Nick Naverne, am I right?
Yeah, so it's not all sort of you do get a little bit of drama in there, you know, a little bit of even Adele's story with Martin Compton, you know, it gets kind of serious, you know, their relationship as well. But you know, all in all, the film is just, you know, a load of fun, beer and pizza, blood and boobies. Brilliant.
It sounds awesome. I'm not just saying this because it's an interview. I genuinely, if it was in a cinema, I would pay money to go and see it.
I got home last night and I was like, I want to see this film because it went out in the cinemas yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
It's 23rd. But they also do this thing on Virgin where they release same day on demand, so you can rent it off the telly. It's out on DVD, the 7th of May?
That's correct, yeah.
So it's the new thing that British cinema's doing, I find, where they were releasing in cinemas and then 3 weeks later or so, they release it on DVD. It's like a very close-knit thing and it works together. You get it on demand as well. So I was quite surprised last night when I saw it on there. I was like, oh, I'll watch it. I said to my girlfriend, let's watch Strippers vs. Werewolves. I'm speaking to Rita tomorrow. And she went, Strippers vs. Werewolves? She went, what's that all about? And I, duh! Exactly. And I just looked at her. I said, do I need to explain it to you?
It's a touching story of a man coaching a horse and letting him win the Grand Derby.
And we watched it. And good thing as well, we watched Doghouse about 2 days before. So really, I was in that kind of mood, ready for that kind of humour.
Yeah.
It's like a comedy stroke horror, over the top, very good film. And that's what it worked out to be. And I enjoyed it. I really did like the beginning sequence as well, because it had the Duran Duran Hungry Like a Wolf song.
Which really
got me in the mood.
But of course.
Perfect. Isn't it kind of very fitting?
It worked perfectly. I loved it.
So what else might we have seen you in then, Rita?
I did the what we call the Jack Trilogy, which is like three movies... based on this sort of detective who loses his memory and gets in all sorts of troubles with gangsters and things like that. It's a very sort of film noir gangster British movie. So I play like the love interest to the lead in that. managed, well, thankfully I was in all three of them, which was really nice. So I got to work with people like Danny Dyer and Tam Hassan, both who are like fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant actors. People.
They're brilliant.
Okay, so what are the names of those films?
So you've got Jack Says, Jack Said, and then Jack Falls.
Cool.
Okay. Well, I'm sure I'll have to check that.
I actually looked on, if you go to Love Film Instant, you can actually get Jack Says, I think, to watch on there.
And that's the first one?
That's the first one, Jack Says. Yep, is that the first one?
Yep, first one, yeah.
Okay, so...
it's sorry, just, we're just cutting just, in and out
you
a little
cut,
bit.
You cut out a little bit, so make sorry, sure it didn't sorry. Go. That's fine. So, yeah, with Strippers versus Werewolves, obviously I don't want to give too much away, but was there a specific scene that you enjoyed filming the most?
There is... I'm trying to think, actually. It was all just, like, so much fun. Like, completely. Obviously, we've got, like, Robert Englund in it.
Brilliant.
But, my goodness, like, I had the opportunity of meeting him, and I was kind of mixed, because I was like, you know, you scared me as a child.
Yeah. You know?
We're with you. So we're with you on that.
Yeah, he's just so lovely and just like such an incredible. I love his scene in the movie. I think he's just brilliant in it. He's so, you know, you can't take your eyes off him. So it was like so nice meeting him. It was really, really good. I think St. Clair is brilliant in the film. It's so funny.
I wanted to bring that up. There's a scene, because guys haven't seen the film, but there's a guy in it called St. Clair. He plays like a Van Helsing type. He goes around killing vampires and monsters. So they always ask him questions like, how do you sort of kill a werewolf or whatnot, and he's very bumbly. He's like a bit of an idiot, and it's so funny. And I'm not ruining too much when it comes to it.
Don't worry, you can tell me the whole plot. I'll still go to.
There's one scene where he turns up on a motorcycle, because that's cool.
Yeah.
He turns up outside the building, and he gets his shotgun, and he cocks the shotgun. He stands there, and he just goes, "Oh, I should have said something cool then." That was my time to say something cool, and then he keeps talking to us. I was like, "What should I have said? Oh, she just said," and he goes, "That's been revoked. Nobody set me up for that." I was actually crying with laughter because it was so funny. So, do you know most of the cast? Like, well, do you work with him a lot? Because obviously, the bloke that plays Sinclair, what's his name? Simon Phillips.
Simon Phillips. Yeah, he was in the Jack films.
Yeah.
So I've worked with him a few times. Also, the guy that plays Franklin, the bouncer, Nick Nevin.
Yep.
I just did a film with him, which is coming out in cinemas in July, called White Collar Hooligan. He is one to watch out for. He is such a great actor. He's brilliant. He's very, like, underrated. So that's coming out sort of, like, if I don't mind me plugging that, it's coming out end of June.
Plug away.
Sorry?
Plug away.
He said plug away.
Go for it.
Yes. So that's White Collar Hooligan, end of June. So it's kind of, you know, with the independent film industry, it's really, really close-knit, and you sort of, you know, tend to work with the same people, and just because we all get on and, you know, it works well together. And when you know actors and actresses and producers who are working hard and, you know, aren't any trouble and things like that, they hire you again, and... You know, it's really nice like that. It's like a big family.
That sounds awesome. Do you find, because it's quite often a thing you see, you get the same sort of groups of people in the same sort of films. You got the Simon Pegg and all of that bunch, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, all of the sort of Green Wing bunch, etc.
Edgar Wright as well, yeah.
So how does that work? Because you so often get the same groups of people in the same films.
Is it really sort of like a family?
Sometimes it is just, you know, a couple of friends decide to make a movie, they find another few friends, and then another few friends, and then if it works, it works, and people just tend to, you know, keep working with the same people, because they have a good time. I think you'll see that with Strippers, like, everyone just seems to be enjoying themselves so much, and hopefully the audience will see that, and they'll end up enjoying it as well, so it's a good reflection on the movie.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. I think it's as much about having fun and having the chemistry when you're filming, as much as anything, isn't it?
Exactly, it's exactly that.
It's nice working with your friends.
Yeah,
that's the best way of doing it.
Yeah.
And obviously,
I mean, you've got are you guys friends, or is this kind of
no,
just all for show?
We hate each other.
Well, I'm a hired stand-in. They can't afford my rates.
He's so. A token black guy.
You are the token black
guy.
You shut your mouth!
Ooh.
That's fine. We just edit you out. That's fine.
That's fine.
Give you editing.
You see what I have to work with? It's just there. Yeah.
Marcus, don't come in here.
Some days you wake up and the bottle of whiskey just ain't enough.
So do you know an actress called Rebecca Ferdinando?
Yes, I do. Yes. Funnily enough, when I was younger, we were both at musical theatre school together. And then we ended up being in White Collar Hooligan together, which was a complete fluke. And because I hadn't spoken to her in such a long time, but it was a nice little reunion. So, she's in that movie, yeah.
Yeah, because I speak to her quite a lot. I've actually done one of these interviews with her before. And I tweet her quite a lot. We have a chat and that. And she's obviously going to come on and do another one because her film Outside Bet's out now. So
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and I just found it amazing because when I got in contact with you, it was kind of like White Collar Hooligan. I was like, I swear I've heard that before. And
you
then,
stalk the people from the same groups, don't
yes.
you?
No, I think they'll work together because Terry Stone wants to do an interview as well.
That's cool.
So and
that's good.
It's sorry, if people work in the same sort of circles, we all kind of like we can all chat to each other, and it's good.
Terry as in a bloke?
No, but it's a bloke, Terry Stone. Yeah.
So that'll be the first male one you interview.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to prove something.
I'm getting a little bit worried because all my interviews seem to be women.
Just women.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
You should hear the ones that aren't actually added.
I mean, the ironic thing is, none of these ever actually go out to air.
They do. Don't say that. Don't say that.
Well, what was the checkout girl at Tesco when they got the injunction?
Okay, I'm going to say this. What I'll do, I'll say this now, and if the answer is not what I'm looking for, I'll edit it out. Okay. I sent you my film. Did you watch my little film?
I did watch your film.
You did watch it?
I did watch your film.
Okay.
I did watch your film. It totally freaked me out, because I was like, oh, this is really cute. The music's really nice. This is going to be a cute love story. And all of a sudden, like, she's dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Why would you do this? But yeah, I thought it was really, really good. Like, yeah, blew my mind.
That's good, yeah. Then, as long as you enjoyed it.
You know, one day I might watch it.
Well, you think of it, it's amazing.
If I get really desperate.
I've got Rita watching it. You're not watching it at all. I don't think Ash has ever seen it. Marcus, you've seen it.
That's the reason why I haven't been back in a long while. he approached me for a follow-up project and said, I need someone who will play someone who's a bit mad. You know, a mental psychopath. And I thought, oh, lovely.
Psychopath?
Yeah.
Yeah, psychopath. The movie.
Thank you,
and you're sorted. No, a psychopath. If you want to be, you know, weird and pronounce it with a lisp. for Will's benefit.
Yeah.
But no, and I just thought, oh, lovely. So I'll basically play a psychopathic idiot in your film, and people may or may not see this. And, you know, the area we live in, being a small town, I'm thinking, oh, that's lovely.
We live in Chelmsford, it's a city.
Area.
We're in a city.
In name only.
Yeah.
Pardon?
You're very good.
Very good?
Yeah. I thought it was very good. I was just terrified because he would do such a good job that, you know, people would see me as the axe-wielding maniac. And it's kind of like, yeah, you're typecast as a nutcase.
Yeah, Marcus is afraid of getting typecast in his first ever acting.
It may be my only acting thing, but you don't want to say, oh, have you done any acting before? Yes, I was a lunatic. I carved 15 people's head in with a fire axe before going running off into the distance. You know,
a few people have moved on from that.
Starting off as a psycho worked for Robert Carlyle.
Yes, it
That's
did.
All I will say.
In Trainspotting.
Doesn't matter what you do. Mm.
Yeah. So you know, with the movie though, the actor and actresses that are starring it, they're actually a couple, which made it a lot easier to film.
Snugging
scene, real. Pardon? What did you say?
Well, the sex scene's real. Was there a sex scene?
No, there wasn't sex. No, but it was easier to film them kissing and touching each other.
It seemed more natural because it was.
Yeah, but it was awkward for me to be filming in a room whilst they were in bed together.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. So, do you ever find that because you work with people that you know, it's a lot easier and natural to get on with them?
Sorry, this is a question to Rita, yeah.
yeah, what you mean doing scenes like that?
Well, you know, like you said, you did the pole dancing scene and in front of a lot of crew. Obviously, yeah. I'm assuming that the crew you kind of know from other films, if they kind of work together.
No, absolutely, I do know them. It is easier because people are really, really professional and really understanding, and they just, you know, we're making a film, it's not real, you know, and so everyone's just really cool with it. So, you know, especially like I said, with the extras watching pole dance, you know, as long as I just sort of had to break that line and be like, guys, I've never done that. I've had an hour's worth of lessons, you know, so just pretend that you're getting excited by this.
Yeah.
So, and everyone's fine because they get it, you know.
What was it like working with Alan Ford? And obviously I've got...
Oh, he's so nice. He's so nice. Yeah, I had like a couple of scenes with him at the bar, just sitting with him. And he's lovely. He's such a nice guy and very funny as well. Really charismatic. Yeah, really nice.
Okay, so I've got three guys sitting next to me now who have no idea who Alan Ford is.
Is it Anna's brother?
No, all I need to say is the guy from Snatch, Bricktop.
Bricktop? Oh, right, yes.
Blimey.
There you go.
Him.
And he's
cut your Jacobs off.
Yeah, his voice is amazing. He is an amazing.
He's gravelly.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did he scare you a little bit? He'd scare me if I met him.
A little bit. You know, you're a little bit intimidated, especially like with Bricktop, such a freaky character.
Yeah.
You know, but he's such a gentle soul. He's so lovely. Yeah. So you know, that all goes away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. It must be cool, like meeting someone from like. Because that's all I see now is Bricktop, like in my head. I'm like, I hear his voice. I'm like, oh Jesus, I'm a bit scared.
I think now I know who you're talking about. I've seen him in a few things. He's brilliant. Mm. He's.
Was in Lockstock as well.
Yeah.
Was he in Lockstock?
Yeah.
Oh, I've not seen that film. We're going to have to go back and watch this for Lockstock.
I think we shall.
I think that's going to be a feature soon.
There was a little thing that happened earlier when we put the trailer on. And obviously the trailer will excite a lot of people because obviously I've done a lot of looking around. I've posted a trailer up myself to like my networking and that, and I've seen some people that have commented on it before, and it's amazing the response you get when you see people watch the trailer and they're so like strippers versus werewolves, and I need to see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean,
it's a good idea. Yeah. Let's face it.
And it was so amazing because we actually watched the trailer earlier and somebody poured a beer and it went everywhere. So
it kind of blew a bit early, didn't it?
Yeah.
The beer blew. Yeah. So that's, there you go. Okay, so
the one was sold on the script, on the title alone, sorry.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I think you get
sent a script that says strippers versus werewolves, and you're like, brilliant, yeah, it sounds great. Usually you're like, yeah, I want to read the script, I'll see what the character's like. It was like, no, sign me up, that sounds fantastic.
Does it really need a plot?
Exactly.
I was actually looking through your IMDb and I saw that there was a film called Airborne out coming soon.
Yeah.
And I looked at that before I watched the film Ships of the Werewolves, and then what happens that there's a little bit of dialogue during the film where they go, we're watching some kind of film, I think it was called Airborne, I don't really know. And I thought, oh, very clever.
Yeah.
They're tying it all together, they're keeping it all in the same sort of that's obviously intentional.
It's a nice little plug, isn't it? It's the same producer, so they thought they'd just get that in there.
It works very well. Yeah. I think it's a very clever way of doing it, because what it does, it connects all the films together. Like you said, you've got the Jack trilogy, they connect them all together, and then you connect these films together. Same sort of people. It reminds me of the old, when Kevin Smith brings in the same people to do his films, it connects them all together.
Yeah. I think you're seeing more and more of that these days.
I think you have to. Like you said, you work in a family, you work with people you want to work with, you work with your friends, and then if you're comfortable with working with them, it works out better.
But the nice thing is, there's such a better distribution media these days, because it's not just a small film, so, you know, you're non-Hollywood, and you're not massively backed at these award bits and pieces. The various films, you can still find really good films out there, which you didn't used to be able to, unless you went to the video shop and you happened to pick up the one that turned out to be quite good that you go by the case.
Yeah.
You can actually find really good films these days by sort of going online, looking at the ratings. You can find the more independent stuff, the more sort of non-mainstream stuff so much more easily these days. And then you've got services like Love Film and what's the other one?
Netflix.
And those films are there.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to consume. It's fantastic. It's giving so many more people a chance.
So, Rita, what do you think about the state of the British film industry at the moment? Do you think it's getting better? Do you think it's improving?
I think it is, just like as you said, with all these new outlets, you know, it is much easier, sort of like, I mean, it's not easy, it's hard, still hard work getting distribution and all of that, but with so many outlets, just like as you said, you know, you've got Virgin Media, you've got iTunes, Netflix, it is much easier getting your films out there and promoting it, I think. So it has got a lot better, and you can find more films, more independent films through these outlets. So it's really, really good in that sense.
And people can actually watch more of them. These days, it's not sit down for the evening in front of the telly. You can watch it on your sort of tablet or on your phone as you're getting the training. It's fantastic.
It's only ways to find them. So you can always find something somewhere.
So many ways to watch it, though, as well.
And I think the promotion thing works better because it's free to promote on social networking in certain senses. Like this. This has not cost any money to promote it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm paying the electricity bill.
Anyway.
Well, that makes you chief stakeholder. But do I get a share?
Yes. Share of nothing is still nothing.
But the whole pushing your films out on YouTube, which is all free, people put stuff out. Like, I was in my films out on YouTube. I'm not making any money from it.
No.
Don't say it like no, you're not.
Sorry, one day I'll watch it and I'll be allowed to judge properly.
I'm a little bit disappointed you haven't actually watched it.
Oh, come on, I've only known you for...
I would take that personally.
I am taking it personally.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be my mate.
Look, I've got a very nice curry for tea and you're going to have some of that. Deal with it.
So I spend all my time making a nice movie for people to watch, and then
I
you make
£6 on pork.
you make lunch, and then it's all good.
Yeah,
is that how it works out?
Indeed.
Is that how the film industry works for you? someone makes dinner.
Someone brings in a pack of Haribos, and everyone's happy.
That's Marcus brought two packs.
I brought two packs. I guess I'm destined for the film industry. Although on a more serious note, I understand what you mean about the whole promotion of being free. I mean, for years I've been sort of drawing comic books and stuff on the side, and it's always at a loss. No, it's always at a loss because you draw it, you print it, you sell it, you pay for the table to sell it, and you only ever break even in terms of your printing costs. So your travel costs and your everything else, it's always at a loss. So I think to be able to plug films and stuff for free, I mean, you get that audience, you get the DVDs, you get the marketing, you get the online streaming, you may get some merchandise if you get some diehard fans. I mean, who would have thought Shaun of the Dead would have launched Simon Pegg and Nick Frost into, the stratosphere? I mean, I know they had space.
But it was still
a cult hit. I know, it's a success, but you need an international hit, or to some extent. You need to make America take notice. Yeah. So I completely appreciate the fact that British industry, even though it seems to be screwed over, but I think it's doing well. I think there's a lot to come out soon.
Yeah, no, obviously.
And I'm looking forward to lots of more films coming out and sort of spotting odd locations and going, I know there.
Well, thanks to you guys as well, you know, doing this podcast thing. This is like a, you know, lovely bit of exposure for the film, and it's nice to have. You know, things like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and so thanks to you guys, you know.
That's all right, we've catapulted you out for another 5 or 6 people.
Well, I thought it was amazing.
Actually, it's more 3 or 4 because one who's normally listening is actually now here.
Yeah. Marcus is more of a listener than an actual part of the team.
But and now we know why.
Yeah. But it was like last night. The minute I watched the film last night, you do the whole thing, like, if you're into networking, that I did the whole Twitter thing where I tweeted out that I was watching it. Mm. And I think I mentioned you, Nick Naverne, and all people like that. And Billy A. Murray retweeted it. Which I wasn't even following him, so I was like, well, people obviously can see that I'm doing it, so then he retweets it to people that know him, and it's just spreading the name around.
And so, I'm sure Billy Murray's probably got more followers than you have, maybe.
She said that, and then she thought, hang on, has he? No, he has. I have
eight. You then stalked him after.
I did look at it and I was like, I have 800, he has about 2,000, so yeah. It
will change. How many
Stephen Fry got?
Stephen Fry, what, followers on Twitter?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's a small country.
Everyone follows Stephen Fry, surely.
I do, yeah.
Rita, have you only just joined Twitter or something?
Yeah, I'm a newbie, yeah.
Yeah, because I did look at... You had about 18 followers when I last looked. I was a bit like, whoa, what's happened?
I've got one. Well, it's you.
It's me, yeah. <I'm> So how can people find you on Twitter so we can just get your name out there?
Oh, it's just my name, I guess, isn't it? Like Rita Romani, at Rita Romani.
Do you want to spell that out for people, just in case?
Sure, yeah. So,
we've got the R-I-T-A.
Yeah.
R-I-T-A-R-A-M-N-A-N-I. It's not an easy one, is it?
No, not when
the Skype feed's breaking up in the middle of your saying.
Okay, no, I'll say it just in case it didn't come through. It's R-I-I. Oh, I can't even say it.
Rhea.
No, don't ask me. R-I-T-A-R-A-M-N-A-N-I. It's the M and the A that confuses me.
A-M?
Yeah.
Nah, fuck it, I'm lost.
No, you got it right.
I get really a lot.
Oh, right. Will, why are you writing it down? I've got it here.
Sorry, Rita, do you mind me asking? Do you know if there are any posters or promotional materials for the film?
Posters, there are. Do you want me to send you?
Yes, please. That'd be quite cool. Because I think it'd be quite nice. Because I appreciate a lot of British films and stuff that come out. So I think it'd be quite cool that, you know, you have one in your place and someone goes, oh, what's that film? And you kind of just help pass it on.
And you wouldn't believe the amount of women that pass through Marcus's place.
They just want to be strippers.
Or werewolves.
Or that are, yeah.
And this is why I don't come here that often. You know, it takes about a year to undo the besmirching of my name.
Stephen Fry has 52,000 followers. No, sorry, I'm wrong, sorry. He is following 52,000. He's got 4.2 million followers. Now that is something to aspire to.
4.2 million.
He's 4.2 million followers. The man is a fucking legend. You follow by not reading Twitter.
Yeah. That's mental. And look, I'm sitting here thinking I've got 800. Billy Murray's got over 2,000, and Rita's got 10 at the moment.
What's he's done? Well, 11, because I'll start following and find
he's
out what
done,
you're
doing. He's done 11,642
or something like that. So.
No, we're definitely pushing. You'll definitely get more and more, just definitely with this film, because your promotion's quite good, obviously. Hmm. And the funny story about how getting you on this podcast was actually quite weird, because you spoke to. You're friends with somebody called Michelle Bender, is that right?
Yes, yeah. Been friends with her for like. Oh gosh, 26 years.
Okay, because there's a guy, a Twitter account called Will W-I-W Oddcast that kind of pushed this through, wasn't it? Yeah, he's actually a listener. He's based on the Will you've been talking to. It's a parody account. So really...
It's not
actually him, which I found amazing. I was a little bit shocked when he tweeted me to say...
It's some freaky stalker.
He said, I've got somebody who wants to be on your show. And I'm like... Really? And then obviously I spoke to you and got this all sorted out, and then I was like, cheers mate.
You have an agent.
I didn't thank him, and I think he's doing more and more. He's like an...
He contacted Brian Blessed on my half asking him to listen to the podcast.
So
which is very cool.
He's getting people to come on the podcast even though he's not part of the podcast. He's like a parody. Is it a parody account? I made sure I told him, make sure it's his parody, because I don't want people to think that it's actually Will.
Associated, yeah.
And but yeah, he's done a bloody good job.
Is that your little avatar? That's really great.
Yeah, so it works out well. So that's what I was saying about the whole social networking thing. It does really work. Because obviously, I would never have found you otherwise, and like, you know, you don't ask, you don't get, and I think that's how it works out on Twitter. So
I'm going to follow you, Rita. I'm going to follow you.
Ah, thanks.
What's your Twitter name?
I'm not selling anyone. I will be anonymous.
Okay.
But so basically, you'll be the second. No. No, actually, it's only one person.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, I follow some other people, but there we go. Okay.
Yeah.
But
I think I remember when I spoke to Rebecca Ferdinando, she had when I first started talking to her, she only had about 200 followers, and then it went up very, very quickly when people start realising.
Because of you?
No, not because of me.
I was going to say,
I'd like to say it was because of me, but when the film started coming out that she was in and all that, it goes up very quickly. So I'm sure that I'll be looking back in about 3 months' time, and I'll look back at your followers, and I'll be like, she doesn't want to talk to me anymore.
1.2 million.
Yeah, she's got more than Stephen Fry.
Now there is a challenge.
That is the biggest challenge, I think.
Okay, so can you tell us where we can find Strippers versus Werewolves and everything else about yourself?
Yeah, it's out at the moment at all Apollo cinemas around the UK, and will be out on DVD on the 7th of May. At your HMV, you can rent it, you know, all of those poor holes. So yeah.
Okay.
Go see Strippers versus Werewolves.
Okay, so we can find you on Twitter. Have you got anything else on, like, you've got a Facebook page, a website, anything like that we can find you on?
I don't have a website. I've got a Facebook page, and obviously, my Twitter account, and another film, obviously, which I plugged earlier, White Collar Hooligan, that's coming out in end of June. That's coming out.
Okay, so what will happen is that obviously this is going out in an Oddcast podcast, and I will speak to you hopefully next week, and we'll do an Oddpod Extra where we'll talk about everything in the film industry, your career and upcoming movies, if that's okay with you still.
Yeah, that sounds great, thank you.
Alright,
yeah, brilliant.
Okay, so brilliant. So you have been Rita Romani,
and will be in the future as well.
Yeah. Okay, so
unless Doc Brown has anything to do with it.
Okay, well, thanks for that, Rita. It's been a pleasure. I know the guys have enjoyed talking about it.
And Rita, you've been fucking brilliant.
It's been amazing.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
It's been emotional.
Lovely talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Okay, have you got any plans for the evening? You going out tonight? You doing anything exciting?
I actually might go and see the Avengers, I think.
Good girl!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some of my things to do for tomorrow.
But that's proper. That's proper. Good answer. Yeah. We have a geek following. Yeah. That was the right thing to say.
Okay.
Excellent.
So
I'm glad.
Okay. Well, enjoy your evening. Enjoy the Avengers. Hopefully, I hope to hear a lot about it because I really want to see that film.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's really good.
Yeah. So, wish you all the best and good luck in the future, and hope your career actually skyrockets. To be honest.
And we will hopefully catch up with you.
Yeah.
Well, obviously next week I'll speak to you, and if we can get you on an Oddcast in the future, maybe we could get you in just for a few.
I'd love that.
Yeah. All right. Use us as a platform.
I would love that. Yes, yeah.
Use us for whatever you want to.
All right. Cheers, mate. Okay. Well, I'll speak to you later.
So much. Yeah.
Hey.
Take care, boys.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
So there you go. There was our little interview with Rita.
Hey. She was cool.
She was really nice, wasn't she?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely superb.
And obviously, I will be doing an Oddpod Extra interview with her, more in-depth about her career and what she's got coming up in the future. So hopefully, everyone can find that, oddpoduk.wordpress.com and on the Podgoz Network. But, so you liked Rita, didn't you? And you haven't actually seen the film yet?
No. I am going to see it, though. I am going to see it. I'm also going to watch Jack Says.
Jack said, Jack Falls.
Yeah, I'll watch Jack Says first and take it from there.
Yeah, don't watch the third one because you might get confused.
No, exactly. You're not going to go into Game of Thrones Series 3 if it existed yet. You know, you got to start at the beginning and work your way through.
I fucking love Game of Thrones.
I've just started watching it. It is amazing. I've done the whole first season in about 2 days.
It took me 2 days to watch it, and I'm not being funny, I don't listen to Will that much, but when he tells me something and I listen to it and it comes off good, fair play to
him. I'm sorry, that end scene from the end of the first season was just amazingly done.
Yes.
Exactly what I thought.
It was superb. Superb. I'm not going to spoil it.
No.
It was good.
No.
Yeah, but I've read the books. So I can tell you on about season 4, Joffrey finally kicks the fucking bucket.
How dare you, sir? He's a cunt. I hate him.
Yes. They managed to find an actor with such an utterly slappable face to play Joffrey. Oh, and it gets worse in season 2. He becomes the most horrible little arse grape in the world.
The last episode I watched of Game of Thrones with Joffrey is when he hired a couple of prostitutes to any ordered them to beat each other up.
That's not in the book.
Well, they must have added that then, because it's...
No, anything involving prostitutes and sex is generally just added to keep people's attention.
It's usually based around Tyrion.
Yeah, basically, all the scenes with loads of tits in it weren't in the books. It was actually just... So you've got loads and loads of tits in the background, and then a couple of people in the foreground just telling you what is normally just backstory and described in the books. Yeah. It's fucking genius.
I know.
It's very good.
Keeps we have Spartacus to thank for that, I think.
Really?
Who?
Spartacus, Blood and Sand.
Yeah, no,
Blood and Sand. Sorry. I don't mean
literally as in I'm Spartacus, here are some tits. Here are some tits, you know.
It was the Tony Curtis movie.
I was!
I'm Spartacus. Ooh. that's and then they all turn around and go, yeah, we want to be Spartacus.
If I jiggle up and down harder, can I be Spartacus?
Is that the carry on Spartacus?
Ooh, Spartacus. Spartacus.
Oh, don't be silly.
But then again, Game of Thrones aside,
it's brilliant. Just fucking watch it.
You've got to watch it because it's so good. I mean, what's on season 2 now? You've read the books. How many books are there?
He's done 5, but looks like season 3 will be the first half of book 3, which is actually split into 2 novels because it's so big.
So it could go on for quite a while.
To be honest, I think they've got about 7 series worth already written.
Hey, I'm happy with that.
So, trouble is, it took George R. R. Martin about 8 or 9 years to produce book 5. Yeah, or it's ridiculous. But book 3 was actually released in 2 like 900 page novels.
Sexy nuns.
The sequel.
Okay, so yeah, so Game of Thrones done. We've spoken to Rita. We've had a little weird chat. Should we move into a proper segment?
Because yes,
bloody hell, that is a
that scared me a little bit. But
I think I might be in loud mode today. Yeah.
No Star Watch this week because we've had our interview, we've had our chat.
It was Star Listen.
That makes sense. Yeah. So should we go into a bit of a movie bluff, a new segment, which would be the second movie bluff?
Yeah, we're really not sure if this is working or not, but it's fun.
No one said anything.
No one's listened.
It's the podcast nobody's listened to. So
fuck yes.
So today's one. Well, fuck it. Let's play the trailer out for everybody out there. Here we go. Movie bluff.
Time travel has not yet been invented. But 30 years from now, it will have been. I am one of many specialized assassins in our present called Loopers. So when criminal organizations in the future need someone gone, they zap him back to me. And I eliminate the target from the future.
Oh la la.
Loopers are well paid. We live the good life. And the only rule is, never let your target escape. Even if your target is you.
I'm gonna fix this! I'm gonna fight him! I'm gonna kill him!
This time travel crap just fries your brain like an egg.
So that was Looper. That's spelled Looper, because I was thinking Looper, Lupa, which sounded a bit well.
No,
Lupus is what Barry's got, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's a bit too much like...
it's like a degenerative disease, isn't it?
Shitty program with...
Leprosy.
That was the one, House. Everything was Lupus.
That was it.
Leprosy, yeah.
Don't play the guitar when you got that one.
No.
But basically, all right, we'll go into a brief synopsis, which may or may not be accurate.
We've seen the film, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
We've all seen the film. We know what it's about.
It might not be out of the cinema, and we're not advocating piracy, but this is what the film was about. Adam, start us off. Go.
Okay, Looper. It's a movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt from The Third Rock from the Sun. And what he does, he plays a young Bruce Willis, where he fucks a young Debbie Moore. Not Debbie, Demi. And then the whole film is about him turning around and he kills people because he knows when they're going to turn up back in time.
Wow. That's all I got. It looked really strange. It seemed like one of those films where you've got the one word title, but you're not quite sure what you're in for. You get an idea from the trailer, but you kind of think that there's more to it than this, more to it than that. It's similar in the vein to sort of Wanted and Jumper as well, which seems as though you kind of, you know, the Ron Seal effect, you thought it was what you got on the tin, but then you watched it and went, oh, that's quite clever. So hopefully there's some, you know, bits and pieces in between.
I mean, the bit that shocked me the most is when you found out that a looper is actually someone who runs their penis anti-clockwise around an elephant's anus, and you form the loops, but then to actually be in the main brotherhood of loopers, you've got to do the same with Angelina Jolie. It was just weird.
Yeah, that was part of it, but then you actually have the nice little twist with actually they're playing on loopers and the whole thing. The trailer is all about looping time. It's not. It's actually they are loopy.
It's not just the aliases.
It's all about they are doolally. So it's all actually set in a mental asylum, and it's a figment of his own imagination.
Which I always thought was amazing because I didn't know Christopher Nolan actually come in and said, right, we want to make an Inception Part 2 without telling people it's actually Inception, because it's all about people going back in time without going in time, without actually knowing that time is not actually back, but it's forward, in the fact that people were listening to the fact that it's actually in time within their own time and not knowing what time it is without knowing the actual time. They are actually doing the time that is actually known there is, and going... Joseph Gordon-Levitt knows that he's sitting there talking about time, and it's not really time, because Bruce Willis comes back and says, "You stop, hey, motherfucker,
hammer time." Yeah, to be honest though, it's a big spoiler in it, but the part where he kind of has the whole, you know, electroshock-induced illusion in which Pikachu rapes one of the senior nurses. You know, for Pikachu. Those who don't know, Pikachu from the Pokemon series turns up. Yeah, you will literally.
It was a cameo.
Yeah, you'll be staring at the screen. It's kind of like a homage to the bit that was cut out from Terminator 2, you know,
yes,
where Sarah Connor has the whole sort of mental delusion. But
seeing Midnight Guard.
Pikachu going ape shit.
They cocked it up in Terminator 2 when Shu turned up.
But yeah.
I mean, I think the highlight of the film to me was probably when it ended.
It did, but then because it's called Looper, it actually started again. So actually you end up with this perpetual thing, so it becomes a bit more like Labyrinth.
It's like a perpetual Looper.
Yeah, it just sort of carries on going. You go up the stairs and you end up coming down the stairs again. It's very, very strange, with a lot of really weird synergies with time not working in a straight line. I don't know why that's a synergy, but it seemed like a good word to move use on. At the time.
Yeah, but like Labyrinth, it reminded me of the Babe. What Babe? Babe of the Power. Babe with what? What? Voodoo, you do, what do, what the fuck? It was one of them films that just confused the fuck out of people, and it had Pippa Middleton playing a massive elf.
Pepper Middleton.
But it was one of them. I do like the way that there's a bit of trivia about the movie. Like, they got in Bruce Willis and they got Joseph Gordon-Levitt and they got Ryan Johnson, he's a writer director, and you think it's nice to have a person that can actually write a film which is confusing, direct a film which is confusing.
It was crap when he started acting in it though.
And then when he turned up as the guy that just turned up and said, "Look, I'm director." And we're like, "Hey mate, don't fucking confuse things. It's not Cabin in the Woods."
Yeah.
Alright, so like, you know, The Looper, it's a film about
The Looper. Yeah. Oh yeah, by the way, our audiences, watch out for the director, actually, because obviously it's in 3D as well, because everything else is. It's the bit where he actually steps out from the screen and starts pissing into the audience. That is amazing. I don't know how they're going to get away with that in the IMAX, but
it's so real.
Hose pipe.
It's so real.
Yeah.
I think, to me, it was a good film. you know, it was enjoyable, but I preferred the first one. I mean, this was obviously a sequel. It was the one about the woman who kept getting in the bar, getting out, getting in the bath, scrubbing her back, getting out, getting in the bath, scrubbing her legs, getting out. Loofah was a much stronger film.
I think we're done on this picture.
So,
the bloke kept dropping the soap.
Okay, I have a feeling that we had more fun than the listeners on that one. Yeah. But there you go, that was Looper. That'll be coming up very soon, starring Bruce Willis, Emily Cunt, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah. And it should be fun.
It should be.
We've seen it. We loved it.
Get someone to pay for you to watch it, though.
getting Bruce Willis to sit in the makeup chair for 3 hours every day to make him look a little bit like an old version of Jordan go for Levitator or whatever.
Gordon the go for
Levitator. I just love the fact that the main star actually decided to look like the younger person, because Bruce Willis. I mean,
there was a little bit in the trailer where they have actually made Jordan Gordon Levitator look like Bruce Willis. It's very clever. So yeah, there you go, Looper. It's coming out very soon, and if you're listening to this months from now, have you seen it? Did you enjoy it? We don't care. So, there you go.
Right.
Segment done.
Beautiful. It was beautiful. It was smooth. It was unrippled. It was just like bang off.
I actually can't remember what we just talked about. You can't remember it.
All I can remember is we were talking about a loofah.
I'm actually looking forward to listening to this back, because yeah. I can't remember it at all. Okay.
They were loopy.
So we're getting towards the end of the podcast.
Et finalement.
What?
And finally.
Don't be fucking pedantic.
It's not, it's been European.
Yes. Yeah.
Or pedantic. French.
Pedantic.
Or Latin. Something.
French.
Something French-ish. Like that.
Blah. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, should we go to a bit? Go back and watch this shit?
Yeah.
Okay, so here is today's go back and watch is... Fuck it, let's play a little thing to you now of go back and watch this, yeah? Here we go. Go back and watch this shit.
We have to go back.
Okay, so are you ready for today's...
Today's.
Today's.
Are you ready for today's?
Bye-bye. He bent over in the shower. I told him to, and he did, but it wasn't me that actually went.
It's a bit Yorkshire. You ready for gays?
Are you ready for two gays, boys?
Let's go back and watch this shit. You look to be really confused. Like, I'm sitting so close to you. I don't know where to be.
It's not that. It's the fact that your other hand is actually making its way towards my leg. That's what worries me.
It is a little bit. I'm like this.
Yeah, method acting.
Okay, not
too much. I'm a bit anyway. Like this. That works very well on audio only.
Let's play today's trailer for Go Back and Watch This Shit.
Steven Spielberg presents Back to the Future, a Robert Zemeckis film. Marty leads an ordinary life.
No McFly ever amounted to anything in the history of Hill Valley.
Yeah, well, history is going to change.
And 1985 is not his year. But Dr. Brown is about to change all that.
Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
He's sending Marty 30 years back in time.
It works!
It's a flying saucer from outer space!
Now, he's trapped in the past.
This has got to be a dream.
About to meet...
Chocolate.
...his future father.
He's a peeping Tom.
Wow!
And he's making an impression on his mother.
He's an absolute dream. And he can sleep in my room.
Anything you do could have serious repercussions on future events.
Now, he's got to make his mother and father fall in love.
For crying out loud, I haven't even been born yet.
And only Dr. Brown... can help him get back to the future.
Are you telling me that this sucker is nuclear?
Precisely.
Michael J. Fox.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Christopher Lloyd.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Go Back and Watch It, and it is Back to the Future. Absolutely awesome film. I would always say watch it as many times as you possibly can, because
starring a steady as a rock Michael J. Fox.
I knew that was coming. It's just obvious.
And I just, yeah, Emmett Brown, I mean, he's someone that I'd actually like to be. Sort of, he's got the Nutty Professor look with big white hair. I think I could pull that off.
What's his name?
What,
real name?
What,
Emmett Brown?
Yeah,
who played Emmett Brown? Christopher Lloyd, fucking genius.
Emmett L. Brown.
I'm sorry,
L stood for lunatic.
No, he didn't.
No.
Loopy.
I meant Luther Brown.
Loopy.
He gets in the time machine, he gets out the time machine.
Then occasionally he rubs his legs while he's actually trying to get out of the time machine.
All the while small children go into his time machine and then come back.
Okay, Marcus, tell us what Back to the Future is about.
It's about a crazy professor who befriends a young boy in script.
Fuck, this is starting to sound dodgier than I remember.
And he has a dog. He has a dog, because, you know, all good scientists do. And he basically has a deal with some Libyans to purchase some plutonium, and they're very angry about it.
This doesn't get any dodgier. And
he creates a time machine. He creates a time machine, and he basically... I can't remember the date it's set for. No.
55.
It's the accidental one, because I think Marty kicks it or something when he's trying to get
into
the car.
He's driving away when the Libyans turn.
And it's just the date that's in there, Basically,
it was the day that he invented the capacitor.
Indeed. Yeah. Basically, Doc Brown dies because the Libyans don't like him. He's stolen their radioactive material.
But the Libyans don't like many people, to be fair.
No,
most of them are dead now.
The thing I love about that film is the fact that they come after him in a hippie wagon. It's such a diverse thing. It's the fact
you're being watched.
The chicken has eyes on you. I hope that picked up.
As we speak, I'm literally being eyed up by a chicken through French doors.
I'll take a picture. Keep talking.
It's quite unnerving, actually, because I'm quite a fan of chicken, but chicken's not a fan of me.
Actually, did you eat them?
Sorry.
But anyway, Doc Brown, Libyans.
Yeah, I know. It's a family movie. Go see it.
Go see it? What, is it in the cinema?
Actually, I think there might be talk of re-releasing it, because they did it with Ghostbusters. They did it with a few others.
So they re-released the re-release.
They re-released it again.
Well, you know, go see it. Convenient video shop or whatever. You know.
Obviously, the whole point of the segment was that go back and watch this because everybody has it.
Yeah.
Or can get it.
Yeah, it's easily accessible. Go speak to the one mate you don't normally speak to, who you know has his film, you don't feel bad about holding on to it until the end of times because you don't see them.
Seek the geek.
No, because you may be a geek.
I thought you were saying Sikhs would have it. I thought,
why does Sikh have it?
Well, a lot of Libyans were Sikh, you see, and it was like a demonstrational video.
How to
kill your local nutcase scientist.
Absolutely.
This is what you can do if you're a real scientist, otherwise we just shoot you.
Okay, right. So the whole point of Back to the Future is that is Marty McFly goes back in time to 1955 and he goes and sees his dad, George McFly.
And his mum.
Oh, that's the point. He has a plot, doesn't it?
He does a plot. He's not just the time.
That's a bit of a strong word. Plot.
But there's no twist.
Okay, well, here's a scene when, after Marty McFly, he's gone back in time and he meets his dad in the little... cafe? It's not a cafe, is it? It's more...
Oh, it's their milkshake bar.
It's like a
diner.
That's the American word for a fucking Starbucks or whatever. So,
No. To say it's an American word for a Starbucks makes you a cunt.
Yes, Starbucks is.
A diner is a purely American thing.
Calf. It's an American word for a calf,
It's an American word for calf. No one cares.
Greasy spoon. A greasy spoon.
A greasy spoon.
Actually,
just keeps giving you more and more trouble.
But if you actually go there far too often, then all your family will be in grief as you've died of a heart attack.
Move on.
Oh, fuck it. Here's a bit where Marty McFly meets his dad for the first time.
Not for the first time.
Yeah, I meant the first time.
Not in a grease,
in a griff spoon.
Biffy spoon.
Nice, I like it.
A Greek spoon.
Give me a tab.
Tab? I can't give you a tab unless you order something.
Right, give me a Pepsi free.
You want a Pepsi, pal? You're going to pay for it.
Look, just give me something without any sugar in it, okay?
Some of that sugar.
Hey, McFly!
What do you think you're doing?
Biff.
Hey, I'm talking to you, McFly, you Irish bug.
Oh, hey, Biff. Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Yeah, you got my homework finished, McFly?
Well, actually, I figured since it wasn't due till Monday...
Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think, McFly.
Think. I gotta have time to recopy it. Do you realize what would happen if I hand in my homework in your handwriting? I'd get kicked out of school. You wouldn't want that to happen, would you? Would you?
Well, now, of course not. No, I wouldn't want that to happen.
So what are you looking at, butthead?
Hey, Biff, get over this guy's life preserver. Dort thinks he's gonna drown.
Yeah.
So, how about my homework, McFly?
Okay, Biff. Well, I'll finish that on up tonight, and then I'll bring it over first thing tomorrow morning.
Hey, not too early. I sleep in Sundays. Oh, McFly, your shoe's untied. Don't be so gullible, McFly. Okay. I don't want to see you in here again.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
What? You're George McFly.
Yeah, who are you?
Say, what do you let those boys push you around like that for?
Well, they're bigger than me.
Stand tall, boy. Have some respect for yourself. Don't you know if you let people walk over you now, they'll be walking over you for the rest of your life. Look at me. You think I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this slop house?
Watch it, Goldie.
No, sir. I'm going to make something of myself. I'm going to night school. And one day, I'm going to be somebody.
That's right. He's going to be mayor.
Yeah, I'm going to... Mayor. Now that's a good idea. I could run for mayor.
A colored mayor, that'll be the day.
You wait and see, Mr. Carruthers. I will be mayor. I'll be the most powerful man in Hill Valley, and I'm gonna clean up this town.
Good. You can start by sweeping the floor.
Mayor Goldie Wilson. I like the sound of that.
A bit of general racism in there about a black man.
I love the fact that the only black person around the table, you're turning and talking to me about racism. I don't give a shit.
Well, I'm not gonna
it wasn't me. I don't sweep floors.
Yeah, like, are you then pointing to me? I mean, you think I'm racist?
I'm not gonna turn around to Ash and say, it's a bit of black racial tendencies.
And he goes, and what's wrong with that?
Perfectly fine. There's a black tap and there's a white tap.
There's four of us sitting here, you were the only black guy here. I'm not gonna turn around to someone who's white and say, yeah. You know what? They're black people. You know
true.
I mean? It doesn't work that way.
True, but if they didn't actually do the whole idea of that, you know, that kind of subsequent around, then it wouldn't actually be 1955, and it would be a massive hole in the space-time continuum.
To be honest,
which
it would actually
is where
be...
Doc Brown keeps the children. But you know, moving aside from that,
where he puts them in out in his massive hole in the space-time.
Get in the fucking DeLorean, bitch! Anyway,
which raises you something you were saying earlier, which is why the fuck a DeLorean?
Yeah, precisely. Shit his car on the face of the earth.
But it did have gull wing. It had gull wing doors. True. And that was true. The reason. Because to me, when I first watched this, it was 86?
85.
Yeah. 85. So I would have been 5.
Yeah.
Thus,
Same here.
That car was the fucking coolest thing in the world.
I have to admit.
Especially the little louvers on the back.
One of my neighbours.
Louvers.
Yeah.
Is that a gallery in France?
Yeah, are we still talking about loofah?
Loofahs on the back. That's jet out shit.
They scratch your back, travel through time, they do everything.
Yeah, they come back a little bit chilled so that you can actually
have a chili scratch.
Yeah, got, shut up.
I've got to admit, when I was a kid, one of my neighbours actually won, it was a newspaper award, and it was, you win one of the Back to the Future DeLoreans. And when it actually rolled off the trailer...
That's fucking awesome. I know.
As a kid, seeing the actual Back to the Future car roll off and seeing one of my neighbours drive off in it, I was literally thinking, I want one of those.
You mean the full-size car?
Of course, the actual car, it drove. Mr. Fusion was...
Break.
No, it actually worked.
No, it just kept going.
It then turned into flame. Yeah,
the American build. Yeah. It never breaks.
But it was turned into flame. It disappeared.
But it was amazing. I mean, it even had like the vent system. So you had like the smoke that slowly seeped out the rear vents.
No, that was just part of the American build.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was the coolant system, they called
did
it.
Did he drive it at 88 and get a speeding ticket as he disappeared?
No, it never made it that fast. It was a DeLorean.
Actually, I think the truth behind that is that each time you see that, it's not actually a special effect. The car actually explodes. Yeah. And all that's left is the license plate flipping around and the flaming tyre smokes.
But do you know how much energy it generates when it gets there?
I know, it's fucking amazing.
2.21 gigawatts!
Speaking of that,
yeah,
should we move into the bit where Marty McFly goes in and meets Doc Brown?
Oh, well, if we've just reached that naturally, then let's do it.
I love the way we set things up.
Oh, we've naturally been it. It's right.
We didn't set it up.
It's cool.
You kind of did.
Well, I didn't knowingly set it up. I didn't know you had that clip.
Because you don't pay attention to what I've got set up. I told you.
Well, you haven't said what you've got.
No, you actually haven't.
Have I not?
No.
I've just leaned over and seen a few clips you put in the other one there, I have the cigarette. They've come in and just gone, what the fuck?
That's it then, because you went out for a fag, and I was sorting everything out.
You were running an empire. Yes, my porn sites are doing well.
Okay, mate.
I went out for a fag, I came in for a fag, I went out for a fag. It was really bad.
And then he used his loofah. Ouch.
Okay, well, fuck it.
Sorry. Right, let's play that.
Yeah.
I'm playing some kind of clip when Mike McFly meets Doc from the past.
Woo-ha.
Doc? Don't say a word.
Doc!
I don't want to know your name. I don't want to know anything about you.
Listen, Doc.
Quiet.
Doc.
Don't
Doc,
tell me anything.
Doc, quiet.
Quiet. I'm going to read your thoughts.
Let's see now. You
come here from a great distance?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell me. You want me to buy a subscription to the Saturday Evening Post?
No.
Not a word now. Quiet. Donations. You want me to make a donation to the Coast Guard Youth Auxiliary?
Doc, I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that you invented. Now I need your help to get back to the year 1985.
Do you know what this means? It means that this damn thing doesn't work at all.
Doc, you gotta help me. You are the only one who knows how your time machine works.
Time machine? I haven't invented any time machine.
Okay, all right, I'll prove it to you. Look at my driver's license. Expires 1987. Look at my birthday, for crying out loud. I haven't even been born yet. And look at this picture. My brother, my sister, and me. Look at her sweatshirt, Doc. Class of 1984.
Pretty mediocre photographic fakery. They cut off your brother's hair.
I'm telling the truth, Doc. You gotta believe me.
Then tell me, future boy, who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan? The actor? Then who's vice president? Jerry Lewis?
I suppose Jane Wyman is a first lady.
Whoa, wait, Doc.
And Jack Benny is Secretary of the Treasury.
Doc, you gotta listen to me.
I got enough practical jokes for one evening. Good night, future boy.
No, wait, Doc. Doc, the bruise. The bruise in your head. I know how that happened. You told me the whole story. You were standing on your toilet, and you were hanging a clock, and you fell, and you hit your head on the sink. And that's when he came up with the idea for the flux capacitor, which is what makes time travel possible.
Adam, after all that, and the clip you played out didn't go 2.21 gigawatts!
I played the wrong clip.
You had one!
I had two clips set up. I've got one where he's not talking about stuff, and one where he's talking about gigawatts. And
one where he's not talking about anything.
Getting gigawatt with it. Yeah, it's
getting gigawatt with it. And then now this thing won't stop. I'm just going to turn it off. That's fine. Okay. So obviously, the last clip I played was him when he turned up at his house.
The last clip you played.
He stuck that thing on his forehead.
That's what I thought he said.
Yeah, I thought he said
clip. That's getting even better.
Yeah. The last clip I played
was actually
a stripper in Soho.
Yes, she said she was 19.
All right, don't have to fucking justify yourself, Adam. It's fine.
But why she hadn't grown any pubic hair, I don't know.
It was shaved.
It was shaved.
Actually, no, it wasn't. It was waxed. You wanna? There wasn't any.
Okay, right, question.
I plucked every single one out with my teeth.
Here's a question.
Moving on.
Why was Marty McFly hanging around with an old man?
Why not?
What do you mean, why not? Don't make yourself sound easy. It's like, well, why not?
There's anyone left in town, isn't it? Last kid to play.
It was his dad. He went and met his dad.
Well, he had him too.
Yeah.
His dad got him into it.
Son, someday you got to earn your own money. In the meantime, you're my bitch.
It's like wise words handed down from father to son.
It's almost like a scene in Pulp Fiction, you know. When I was younger, I used to get fucked by the old guy in the neighbourhood, and now it's your job. And your grandfather before him was fucked by the old guy. And your grandfather before him was fucked by
you. Talking about the old Christopher Walker?
Yeah, it's the whole... No, let's not go there.
Actually, sorry, Marcus, was that your Christopher Walken?
No, that was just me talking. Can really you do a Christopher Walken? I can't do a Christopher Walken.
Try.
I can do a Taz out of Tasmania. No, he's dad.
That'll do.
You know, blah blah, and the Yaxi Schmackity and the OJ and the yada 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 and the yada 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 blah blah, and just talk to your mum about it. Which is pretty much how I normally sound.
I'm just like, that wasn't an impression at all.
That was like Marcus.
Yeah, that's just love how he sounds, though. Okay. Which is scary. I've turned to Tasmania.
He's copied you.
Ash, have you got a new impression to do?
No, he's up. No. Oh,
no. You cunt.
Yes.
I can do an impression of Adam's impression of Christopher Walken.
And that is a Christopher Walken! It's a me, a Mario!
That's better than Adam.
It sounds more like Christopher Walken than mine does. It's amazing.
And the King of New York are here.
I've been
about it.
I really said.
You want chili sauce with that?
What the fuck?
That was Indian.
I am not Christopher Walken.
I can't do Christopher Walken with it because.
Let's do the Bollywood dance, Christopher Walken.
The embarrassing thing is that I've tried it on my own in the car whilst driving home, and then I thought, that sounds quite good. And then when I've gone to redo it, I've gone.
It's like you said on one of those earlier podcasts. You do sound like Ted from Police Academy.
Thing is, you do a good impression of that. Just fucking stick with it.
All I can think of now is howdy ho.
Alright, back to the future. Go back and watch it. Should we go to the last clip that I was going to play before when you actually talked about it?
2.21 gigawatts!
Can we go back in time to watch the thing that you were going to play previously that wasn't quite in time?
With a loofah.
Yeah. With a
loofah. Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair! But what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Go
course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt?
How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a life in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
She's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what she wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Well, I fucked that up, haven't I?
Yeah, you're a gigawatt over.
Sideways, bent over a bench, and feeling very remorseful about it as well.
What did you say? I said gigawatt, not gigawatt.
It's the same
thing. Oh, and I was one out.
Yeah, so you would have completely destroyed the DeLorean. It would have turned into a ball of flame. Oh, shit, no,
that's what happens anyway, I think, yeah.
Gigawatt. Oh, fuck it. To be honest, like, 1.21 gigawatts, gigawatts, whatever, still can, you know, 2.21 gigawatts. Does contain 1.21 gigawatts. It doesn't, like, specify if it's over, what happens.
There's a little bit more, but...
What are we talking about?
If I say, get me a pint and a half, and you bring me back two and a half pints, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But if you're actually touching something and it says, please apply 6 volts, and you actually apply 32 volts, chances are you're going to fry the fucker.
Oh, knob off. Well, you're thinking the same with medicine, aren't you?
Yes, I love it when I get an overdose.
I need 1.5 milligrams of adrenaline, stat!
You need 1.21 milligrams, yeah.
Yeah, this stat thing is absolutely wicked.
Okay, so Back to the Future. Is it a film you should go back and watch?
No, because I tried to watch Back to the... Well, actually, don't watch Back to the Future 2, because that was shite.
What?
It was on telly the other day.
That was when they went forward to the future.
Oh, no, it was awful.
Yeah. Back in time.
Oh, and you need to watch.
They went forward and back.
Back in time,
they went back and forth. Yeah, back in time, did you give me? Their chicken's a little bit dry, but the ribs are good.
Yeah, but I handed like
Marty. Someone's got to be done about the ribs.
But for £20, you can get like a kilo. A whole pound of steak.
Yeah.
And they do a half price voucher for it, so it's a tenner.
It's wonderful. The chef's salad has absolutely.
Shut the fuck up!
Back in time is a good pub.
It's a wonderful restaurant.
Okay, I'm fucking stamping it now. I want one fucking word from each of you now. Back to the Future, yes or no?
Oh fuck, I was gonna say bollocks, eat bollocks. Good, yes. Whatever.
Back to the Future, yes or no?
Rehypnol.
Back to the Future, yes or no?
Hell yes.
Okay.
Those two!
You laugh.
You failed.
Money!
Oh my
god. Show me the money!
1.21 gigawatts!
Giggy Jiggawatts.
Right.
Giggy Jiggawatts.
Giggity Jiggity. Are we all happy to...
Stop.
End on this.
For the love of God, yes.
Giggity Giggity.
So, thank you
Mr.
for...
Mr. Q.
Thank you for listening to the Oddcast podcast, episode 41. It's been very loud, I know. And if you want to listen to more, you obviously know where to find us. But
and you have a problem.
Go to oddpoduk.wordpress.com. Go to the Tumblr page, which is the blognobodysreading.tumblr.com. You can find us everywhere on iTunes, Stitcher, The Lounge. You can find us on Twitter. You can send us messages at Barker Podcast.
Twitter.
Barker Podcast or at Oddcast Podcast. And also follow us at... Twitter.
No, I want to play with me.
The Pod Gods. At the Pod Gods at podgodsnetwork.com, where you can find us and other podcasts that are just as funny, just as loud, maybe not as funny. We don't know. So, this has been mental. And I do apologize now. If you listen to this now as episode 41, make sure you listen to episode 42, because no doubt it will be very loud and very drunk. And I think Marcus is going to be here for it.
Because we're recording it.
We might invite him back for the next...
So if you're sitting here right now listening to this and you come to the end of this episode, watch out next week, because we will be fucked. Okay, so this has been your cast podcast. I've been the host, Adam. You have been...
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
You have been... And you have been...
Sober.
Sign us out, Will.
Inflammation of the foreskin reminds me of your smile. I've had balanitis chancroids for quite a little while. I gave my heart to NSU that lovely night in June. I ache for you, my darling, and I hope you'll get well soon.
Twah!